Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience of owning them is a great one.
A new legacy in sound. JLab's new luxury over-ear headphones, seamlessly blending innovation and lab quality sound.
Over here at Fake Doctors Real Friends, we love our JLab Audio headphones. They feature over 70 hours of playtime, four different colorways to choose from, and three noise control modes. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval terms. Apply. And I'm recording too.
Good, I'm happy you record.
Oh, now you're gonna show off with a run because you know I can't do that shit.
You can do it, just do a scare.
I can do it, just do a scare.
Ooh. There you go.
There you go. Thunderous applause.
Thunderous. Okay,
fellas, I missed y'all.
Missed you too.
Where's Joelle? She's hanging out with the new girl?
No, she is. She's right here.
She's running a little late.
Oh, I thought you weren't going to be here because of the new girl.
When you said a bit late, I thought you meant like, you know, more than a minute.
I thought you might be with Zoe Deschanel on a shopping trip or something.
Oh my gosh, how magical would that be?
I would love to go shopping in this climate right now, in this recession. Now's the time. Get yours, y'all. It's $200 for shoelaces.
How's everybody's holiday? Mine was horrible.
No, what happened?
Tell them what happened. Tell them what happened.
Y'all, see, I'm so upset about it. It's making me sound Southern, y'all.
Oh, no. What happened?
But this is your upset voice?
Yeah, it was like the episode we're going to talk about when the janitor has a different voice.
Yeah.
Well, I'll make a very long story short. I was going to have 20 family here. And Monday of the week, I got that feeling, that achy feeling.
No.
And I had 20 people here. I had rental chairs and tables coming because I can't accommodate 20 people. It was all set up. So excited. My parents were going to cook. People are flying in from everywhere. Monday, I start getting the aches.
Oh, buddy.
You know, the aches.
No.
And then I took a home COVID test, a home PCR COVID test, and it tested positive. And I was like, fuck. So then I had two more, right? Both were negative. And I'm frantically Googling, like, wait, I thought this was a fancy home test, like the best there is. It says it's like 98% accurate. So I start texting Real JD, right? The guy who told you about that my character is based on, Bill's best friend from college. So I'm texting him. I'm sending him pictures of all the tests. I go, what does this mean? He goes, if you have symptoms and it's positive, you're positive, dude. You just got to let it go. But he's not getting back to me right away because I'm like asking him all these questions. I'm like, oh, I'm thinking, oh, maybe he's like in surgery. You know, he's like a very fancy cardiac surgeon.
Yeah.
And then finally he reveals to me he's at the Clippers game with Bill.
Oh, come on, man.
So I still don't trust it, right? So anyway, long story short, I get a pro test the next day, comes back positive for flu, negative for COVID. And just so you know this, my assistant asked the tester doctor, and he said, it's possible if you have flu to get a false positive on a COVID test, which is what happened to me.
Damn.
Anyway, it didn't matter because I still had the fucking flu.
You still got sick.
And we had to relocate the party to my mom's house people started canceling left and right. They ended up with about 10 people at my mom's house, but it was, I spent a week alone on the couch.
Did someone bring you a plate at least?
Sorry.
Yes, a plate was brought to me and with a mask on, and my friends and family were very lovely to me. Aww. But I definitely did. I feel sorry for myself. Is that the question? Yes, I did.
You know, we joke about sickness right now, but COVID's on the uprise, right? Again,
everything is really, the flu really and COVID and RSV. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, RSV. Mm-hmm.
It's so upsetting and it's so everywhere again. And I don't know what to say about it other than it's like a roll of the dice when you go outside if you're gonna get one of these things.
Yeah. I mean, you got to live your life, though, right? Like,
yeah, you do. Yeah. You do. You got to live your life. I'm just saying that everybody, when I told this story to friends, they were like, oh, same thing happened to my Thanksgiving. Everyone got COVID. We didn't have it. Or like this happened. And someone was in the hospital with RSV because her oxygen went down below 90 or something. Oxygen.
Jeez. Her blood oxygen level.
Yeah.
Jeez.
There's a lot going on in the world, guys.
Yeah, really we don't really need to discuss all of
it. No, we don't need to go down the rabbit hole. I'm just telling everyone, we're about to go make you a funny comedy podcast for an hour. I'm just telling you, oof, there's a lot going on in the world.
Yeah, this shit is fucked up right now. 100, dude. Holy shit.
I guess the best thing to do is have a podcast where we laugh, but fucking hell.
Yeah, man. And on that note, 5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's the stories that you all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donno. Mm-hmm. Holy cow, dude. Yo, this episode... All right, it's not my favorite episode. I don't remember a lot of the episode.
Me neither.
Same. And I don't know if I agree necessarily with the message of this episode, but to a certain point, Elliot's outcome in the end, I was like, I don't know about that, man.
All right, well, we'll get there. I mean, it delves into a very, very topical medical conversation, which is
as a doctor,
euthanasia and the ability of a human being, the right of a human being to, if they're terminal, say, well, I guess the conversation goes beyond that. But in the case of this episode, if someone is terminal, whether they have the right to choose their own end and when they end their lives. I mean, I think it was a very good topic for Scrubs to take on.
I agree with you 100%. It's a very tough one to take on too, because what do you do in that situation? Are you going to be tombed inside of your body for the rest of your life until you die? Or are you going to say, you know what? I'm going to take control of this situation and end it now.
Now, there's only a few states, I believe, that allow euthanasia. Can one of you guys look that up? I know that
Didn't Kevorkian go to jail for this and all of that stuff?
But that was before a few states, I believe, made it legal. Now, I think you have to be terminal, and I think you have to choose it, be conscious to choose it, if I'm not mistaken.
Let me ask you a question. Was this before all of that? Was this before Kevorkian?
Oh, of course. Well, this, I believe, Joel and Daniel can tell us, but I believe these laws were passed long after Scrubs. But I think Washington is one of the states. Washington State.
Yeah, we have Oregon, Washington, D.C., Hawaii, Washington State, Maine, Colorado, New Jersey, California, and Vermont.
Of June 2021. That's way more than I thought.
Yeah, and you Joel, said a couple. That's like...
it's way more than I thought. I think Washington State was the first. I remember hearing about it. And Joel, are the conditions such that you must be terminal and you must be conscious to choose it?
It's a legal document, so give me 2 seconds.
Yeesh.
Yeah, the source of this links to a bunch of very long legal documents.
It has to be somebody saying, look, I want this to happen. And there's no way, because then somebody could say, look, they said to me that they wanted it done, and so I did it.
No, I know. That's why I remember looking it up, and you have to prove that you're terminal. And I think you have to say, I choose this. You can't be unconscious.
So this is very broad for all the states. It's basically just a descriptor. In some states, you can be unconscious and then a guardian can make someone you've a legal appointed guardian.
But you would have had to put that in a living will.
Yes, 100%.
That's something to think about, by the way, everybody who's listening. Sorry to go be serious for a second, but I did deal with this in my own life with my sister. You know, what would you want if you're unconscious? It's something you should put in a living will, because I certainly would not want to be entombed in a like this woman with ALS. I agree with her decision. In my personal point of view, it's what I would want. But if she's unconscious, she can no longer choose it. But I guess it's
somebody
something
has you can, to make you can, that decision
you can,
for.
You can put it in your living will so that your loved ones know what you chose, right?
And wills are not very expensive. There's a lot of websites online where you can make one pretty quickly, and it just it's helpful for your family members should the worst happen, that at least they understand that they have your, you know, your what you want to do is laid out for them,
right? And they also
update
know who
that
gets
shit
the-
too. Update that shit. That's the most. That's the real
I
deal.
I just
Holyfield.
Did mine, Donald. You didn't get anything.
I'm going to love you so much that you're going to update that shit before you
listen,
die. How about that?
You tell me if there's anything
I'm
going to
love
you
so much, you're going to be like, you know what? I feel bad that I didn't leave him anything.
I don't think there's anything of mine you'd really want, but I don't
want
have
the
a
money!
PS5.
The money!
Oh, my God.
I don't have a PS5. I know you'd probably want that.
Oh, that would be awesome. I do have a PS5. Like that is on my Santa list. All right, so look, this might
Wait,
not
do you guys?
Them.
I wanted to ask you, just sorry to jump around, but on Scrubs Wiki, they rent. Did you know that the Neil does the voice in a game called Ratchet and Clank games?
Really?
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know
He's
that.
What voice
Ratchet
does he
and
do?
Ratchet and Clank is dope.
So this is in the trivia that the janitor's smitten voice, you know, he does this sort of southern voice, is the same voice Neil Flynn uses for the water worker character in the Ratchet and Clank games.
That's amazing. I didn't clock that.
What are Ratchet and Clank games?
It's a video game. It's kind of like Mario Brothers, or it's like a puzzle. It's like a game where you jump around and you stuff like that.
A platformer, if you will.
Yeah. Is that,
what's
that's
a platformer?
It's just, you know, like Donald said, a jumping around
game. Oh, you jump
game.
From like areas like Mario Brothers.
Sure. It's an adventure game. Ratchet is like a, you know, like a rat-ish character, and Clank is his little companion that sits on his back. It's a robot that's like a backpack.
Oh, you know I love a robot. All right, well, there you go, everyone. If you didn't know that, Neil Flynn is the voice of the water catcher, and he uses that voice. Thought that was a good piece of Scrubs so Wiki.
Fun. All right, let's get into the show. This is episode 706.
Yes, and Will McKenzie directed it. He is one of our favorite directors of the show, and most famously directed the epic musical episode. Very talented man.
And his style of directing is pretty amazing, because it's always like, Donald's coming in, he's happy, he can't wait to see Carla, and action!
Yeah, he would do this funny quirk where he would sort of sum up, I mean, it's a good technique for reminding the actors where you're, you know, where what just happened. He'd be like, yeah, here comes Donald, he's very happy, he's just had sex with Carla, and action! He would do a little quick summary to remind you of your attitude coming into the scene. Anyway, he took on that musical episode, which we all love, and is so well done. And it was, you know, I think Will has musical theater and theater experience, so he was the perfect man for the job.
And he loves tennis. I remember that. That's like a fun fact for all of you out there. I remember him. You know, Will is a older man.
Hope he's still with us, Joelle. You could look that up.
His son was one of my daughter and son's little league. Not coach, but he helped organize the Little League over here in Sherman Oaks when they played baseball. So I used to hear about him all the time. I believe
everybody
he's still
loved
alive.
Him. I don't know. He was a senior fellow when he was directing it. So I hope he's still with us.
But he played tennis, and that's when it was like, I need to take up tennis now, because if he can play at his age, you know what I mean. That's one of those things where it's like, I need to figure out a way to, you know. Will is one of the first people that I met where I was like, I need to really figure out what I want to do, because this dude's very active at a later part in his life. I want to be active like that. Right. You know what I mean? Like Harrison Ford, they showed pictures of Harrison Ford in this freaking Indiana Jones shit he got coming out. Yeah. My dude is running and shit. Like, yeah, part of me's like, get the fuck out of here, man. Indiana Jones can still run. He's like 90.
But by the way, we just
Harrison Ford is doing that shit.
Speaking of Harrison, did you see the little teaser they released for Shrinking on the interwebs?
I did. It's very cute.
Ooh, good.
Looks good. Will McKenzie is 84 years young.
84. Thank God. What a that's good news. I love Will McKenzie. Donald, they released that little teaser. I think January 27th. Audience is that correct, Joelle? Is the release date for Shrinking? And it's really good. I'm going to sit with Bill actually tomorrow because he's finally gotten around to doing his showrunner boss pass of my episode that I directed. I'm going to hang out with him. But anyway, it's very exciting. It's a very funny show.
Did you see him last night?
I saw him for dinner last night. Yeah. You were invited, but you couldn't find a sitter.
We could not get a sitter.
And I was with Sarah Chalk, who shockingly had like 10, you're not going to believe this, stories. The funniest one involves her.
I believe it.
She's chasing her dog and she comes around a bend.
Oh, no, she told the story already. She told the story on a talk or two. She told us the story face to face with a skunk.
She said she was like a foot from its anus and it blasted sprayed. Her. And it got in her mouth. She said it got in her eyes.
Oh my God.
She says that she's having like trouble with her eyes now because of the skunk juice that's got in her eyes.
Skunk juice is terrible.
That is horrible.
But that's by the way, really that's just like a normal Sarah dinner conversation.
For real.
Did I not tell you about the skunk? So the skunk was in my mouth and the skunk juice got in my eyes.
I was eating dinner in the woods with my family.
And she instantly switches to out of breath. Like it's like like she doesn't ramp up into being out of breath.
Just out of nowhere. You'd be like, how you doing, Sarah? Oh, I'm so good. Life is pretty good right now. But did I tell you?
Oh my God.
There was a
and then I saw a Danis. And then the second I saw a Danis, I was sprayed in the mouth.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so the janitor is smitten with Lady. He's got a girlfriend. He's in love.
Yes. And he has a smitten voice also.
Yes.
And Carla hears the smitten voice and is like, why are you talking like that? And he's like, this is my smitten voice.
Right.
And which prompts Carla to think, wait a second, how does this dude have a girlfriend? Like,
because he's so weird.
This dude is the craziest person on the planet.
Yes.
Easily the craziest person in the hospital.
Right.
He has theories that just don't make any type of sense. How did he convince this person to date him?
Yes, Carla.
She must be just like him. Carla does a little research. Lady's normal.
Right.
And Carla can't figure it out.
We know that Carla's a gossip and loves to get up in everybody's business. She can't find anyone that wants to gossip with her about this. So she finds Kelso, who is
on his way out. He's like, he's...
Kelso's won the muffin contest.
Prime, yeah, he's past his prime in the hospital. He's like a couple of... like a year from retirement at this point. If you all recall, Kelso just turned... What was it?
65.
Yeah. And at 65, right. And
he's being edged out.
He's got to get out.
And so we learn that he's finishing the last Harry Potter book, and anyone that tells him the ending, he's going to draw Harry Potter glasses on, which he does to Doug. And Carla says, "Listen, I know you're not going to draw glasses on me. Let's be honest. We know that shit's not going down. So I know whether Harry lived or died. So you might want to get on my train with me of investigating whether the janitor is lying to this woman or what the hell's going on here."
And he agrees.
And so that's one of the main storylines. The other main storyline is that Turk and Cox are timing each other. They're competing. JD learns that Turk and Cox have this whole competition guy, you know, stereotypic guy competition thing where they're always timing each other and seeing who can beat one another over lots of things. This in particular example is seeing how long they can stay in a room with a patient who has a fungal infection. They're calling it smelly belly.
No, that's what JD called it, smelly belly.
And JD, the funniest part was with JD can't last a split second.
A second. He walks in and walks right out.
Right. And so we set up the idea of constant competition. And we know that JD has never really won anything. And we see a flashback in which a group of jocks and throw him in his mullet.
Yeah, so this is where it gets a little... So we're to believe, as an audience...
Yes.
First of all, we finally get the origin story.
What do you mean, the origin story?
This is JD's... This is the moment where JD was like, a doctor, that's what I'll be.
Oh, right. I forgot that he says that. And no, because he's thrown... You think they're... It's funny, because when you first see the shot, it looks like the football players are like cheering him like Rudy, you know?
Yeah, like he JD. Just won the football game.
Yeah, and my mullet's flopping up and down, and I'm so happy. And then they throw me, and we learn that it's a nerd toss.
Yes. Oh my God.
And I say, guys, I think they're nerd. And I won. And I'm excited because they threw me further.
And
but
you,
I look
and
at
you say, suck it, bitch, to the nerd.
And then I look at the other nerd and I go, guys, I think their nerd is unconscious.
We should probably roll them over.
Yes. And that's when Donald's right. JD says that's when he decided to become a doctor.
That's when I decided to become a doctor. That's crazy.
That's amazing. Funny, though.
It took seven seasons, but we finally got the origin
story. I think their nerd is unconscious. Okay, we're going to go to a break and come back, and you're not going to believe what we're going to talk about, including White Lotus Season 2. All right, we'll be right back.
Wait, are we going to talk about White Lotus Season 2?
Yes, we are.
That's all Casey's watching is White Lotus.
I'm finally going to get... You're not going to watch it, but Daniel and Jamal and I are going to talk about it.
There's no way I'm watching any of this shit. Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
And we're back.
Eat these balls, Zach.
We are back. Yo. We are back. Thank you for joining us, audience. We're so happy you listen to us every week. It means a lot to us. We just want to make you laugh. It's the holiday time. People get down in the dumps. It's a tricky time for a lot of people. And we hope you join us to just have a little giggle and be an escape for you. Right, Donald?
You know, that's all I really want in life is for people to... I became an actor for that reason alone, to entertain, to make you laugh and to make you feel something.
We've dedicated our lives to at least attempting to make you laugh.
Right. And if we do that in this hour
and change,
hour and a half.
Yeah. We'll see how we feel.
Yeah.
So just a quick White Lotus too. I know you're not watching it. Are either of you, Dale and Joel?
I'm not currently.
I haven't started it yet.
Yeah, ain't nobody watching that shit.
All right.
But I watched season one. I watched season one, so I am interested in season two.
Well, the listeners listening who are watching wish that we could go down a rabbit hole. This season is so good.
I'm so happy that we cannot go down this rabbit hole.
I text with Casey about it because she's the only person that I can chat with about it.
She is deep in it and loves it.
Zach, I love you.
Yeah, yeah, we text about it. She does.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you, man. You guys text a lot.
Well, not like a concerning amount.
No. Well, it is concerning when I look at my text messages and there's 80 texts.
Well, by the way, when he says we text a lot,
I'm not saying anything.
By the way, when he says we text a lot, mind you, 99% of it is on a group chat with me, him, and Casey.
Yes.
When Casey and I don't care that Donald's not fucking chiming in, we'll just go down a wormhole about White Lotus.
About other shit too. Did you guys just go down wormhole after wormhole
everything.
After wormhole?
And then Donald just won't participate. And then occasionally he'll put like a heart emoji. You know, like. But then when I'm really like, all right, I'm not going to bother Donald right now, and all I want to talk about is like a TV show that I know Casey and I are watching, then we switch to just us and we talk
you guys
about
have a
vow.
Lot. Yeah,
we talk about White Lotus season 2 and I send her like people go off on these long essays and conspiracies about what's happening, and it's so good.
Wait, so is this? I thought this was the one with Cannavale and Regina Hall and.
No.
That's not White Lotus?
No, that's a different show.
But Jennifer Coolidge is in that one too, right?
I think she might be, Joelle.
Yeah, she might be.
Jennifer Coolidge is having quite a moment, and I'm happy for her.
Yeah,
she's so funny.
She rips.
Amazing.
But anyway, it's about season 2 is about a different, it's like the White Lotus Hotel is a very, you know, fancy resort hotel. The first season took place at one hotel, and in season 2, you follow Jennifer Coolidge's character. She goes to a different one, and another story happens.
What's so important about the White Lotus Hotel?
It's just a fan. You know, think of it like Ritz-Carlton-y. It's like a very expensive luxury resort.
You guys are watching The Love Boat. I just want you to know that.
No. You guys
are watching not The Love Boat.
Not The Love Boat.
It's written by Mike White. He's a national treasure. He's a genius writer, and I really highly recommend it to people. It's a little bit of a slow burn. You got to have patience.
Two.
What?
How's Aubrey Plaza in season 2?
Aubrey Plaza is
Casey
one of the stars.
Casey loves Aubrey Plaza.
Aubrey Plaza is so talented and so funny. Yeah. Michael Imperioli, my buddy, is in this season, and he's incredible. All the actors are great. The actors across the board. It takes place in Italy, so some of the cast is Italian. And by the way, it makes you want to go. It takes place in Sicily.
Ooh.
And every shot, you're like, I got to go to Sicily. Wonderful. It's so beautiful.
Donald, you were thinking of The Watcher. That's a Netflix show. And yes, it has Jennifer Coolidge as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the one with
Bobby Kidman, right?
No, it's Bobby Cannavale.
Naomi
Watts. Naomi Watts.
Isn't Nicole Kidman?
You got Australia
star,
right. You got Australia right. Naomi
so.
Watts. Yeah,
no, Mia Farrow, Margot Martindale.
Naomi Watts.
What's the one with Nicole Kidman?
Are you
she's
thinking
like the
of
guru
that's,
and
that's oh. That's a different one with Bobby Cannavale. Mm-hmm.
And Regina Hall and
that's
Jennifer
one
Coolidge.
Where she's like a guru. Jen
Coolidge is in that one too.
And they go on a retreat.
Damn, is she really?
Yeah, she is.
What, are there like five actors working right now?
Yes.
She also got a campaign I saw for her. She's kind of in a moment. Let's get back to this television show, Scrubs, Donald Faison.
Great show. Great
So also, show. Kelso reveals that he's signed Sacred Heart up for a doctor rating website called rateyourdoc.org. And I learned on Scrubs Wiki that they actually made this website, the writers or Disney TV. And I looked for it. It's not still up anymore. But at the time, they made it a real website. And then I started realizing that this episode is sort of Bill's reaction to the beginning of like negative comments about things on the internet and... Yep. And trolling and being
me
judged.
Me saying that's what I'm talking about was actually something I said on the show all the time as a
well, you still say it
ad lib, right? I say it. Fuck, I say it on this all the time as well, right? Yeah. That's what I'm talking. We had a fucking the sound machine. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Right. I said that all the time. Right. And people did not like it. Sort of like
well,
when
no,
we
no,
first...
no. But when you say people, I just want to be careful about how you the semantics you use. When you say people did not
that's
like,
that's right. There are
tens of millions of people watching Scrubs at the time, and you're like, people did not like it, and that probably meant like maybe two people wrote a comment.
Right. That's exactly what it means. Although I will say this, When the Fortnite shit went down, it wasn't just two people. It was way more than that. It was like every 12-year-old boy on the planet.
I want to read you something. Can I read you something?
Yeah, sure.
Would anyone mind if we had a brief story time?
You guys I'm really excited about this. Yeah, like breaking out a book.
Let me tell you.
This is an amazing book I recommend to everyone listening. It's called Tools of Titans by Tim Ferriss. And Tim Ferriss is a very smart man, and he basically interviews some of the greatest minds in everything. It's very easy to read, perfect for next to your toilet, because it's just interviews. It's like question, answer, all over the spectrum of talented people. But this is something I read that he wrote that about getting comments and feedback on the internet that I thought was helpful. It says, 10% of people will find a way to take anything personally. Expect it and treat it as math. Particularly as you build an audience, this 10% can turn into a big number. Mentally prepare yourself before publishing anything. Oh, I have 1,000 readers now. That means 100 are going to respond like assholes. Not because I'm bad, not because they're bad, because that's how the math works. If you anticipate it, it will throw you off less. On top of that, I assume that 1% of my fans are completely batshit crazy, just like the general population, which helps me handle the far scarier stuff. If you wrongly assume that everyone is going to respond with smiles and high fives, you're going to get slapped. You'll respond impulsively, and you'll triple the damage.
Wow. Some wise words right there.
That is wise words. Because you know what? At one point in my life, I think at one point in everybody's life, they thought, you know, when I put this out, everybody's going to love it. And right. then when the response wasn't that, it changes you.
Right. But this episode, I think, I saw as Bill's kind of working in his initial reactions to the internet. I think this was 2007, I believe, Joelle.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
I think this was Bill digesting negative feedback from the internet for the first time and weaving the concept into an episode.
Yeah. Yeah, because Cox being bald and then having hair, that was all something that happened on the show.
Yes, because yes, there was a comment. Johnny C, what was the reason he was bald again? I forgot. Maybe it was for another part, or maybe he just did it randomly.
I don't know.
Then all of a sudden he had hair again, and that was in Scrubs Wiki too. Let me see that. It says, Dr. Cox mentions a comment on rateyourdoc.org saying, "What's up with Dr. Cox's hair? One week he's bald, the next he looks like Shirley Temple." Signed, Michelle M. This is a fan in joke mocking Dr. Cox's temporary baldness in My Night to Remember and the fans' reaction to it. And if I'm not mistaken, one of the biggest thorns in Bill's side was a Michelle M, I think, who was constantly trolling Bill.
That's funny.
Well, a direct response.
I think they gave Michelle M a shout out.
You know, I always forget what the haters are going to do.
And so you think Taylor Swift, song?
Always fucking reminds me. What are they going to do, Taylor? They're going to hate.
Everyone's
hate,
posting hate, their Spotify thing, and I'm afraid to post mine because I'm sure it's mostly Taylor Swift. Everyone's
bragging about it. I'm not going to lie, man. That shit grew on me. Hey,
I told
it's
you.
Me.
It's so good.
I'm the problem. It's me.
Hey.
At by the way, there's time. Everybody agrees. That shit is fire, dude. I sound like an asshole right now, but it is fire.
No, you don't sound like an asshole because everyone's posting their Spotify things and they're showing all these cool bands that they're listening to. And I'm like, damn, I don't think I could post mine. Mine would be like all Taylor Swift.
It's all right, man. Post your Taylor, dude. Post your Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. That album is fire. Do you know that she shut down Ticketmaster because
she didn't shut down Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster fucked
I know.
Up.
I'm just saying, like, it's pretty just amazing. She had a stadium tour planned, and they let like a million people in the verified fan line, and there was so much demand that it broke the system.
Yes.
Yeah, and then now people who have tickets are selling tickets for
$35,000,
dude.
Dude, I know someone who got
more
a ticket.
More than that.
I know someone who got a ticket because they were in the line for 8 hours, in the virtual line for 8 hours. And she said that her not even a good seat, but just in the fucking stadium. She said her area is selling for $10,000 a ticket right now.
Jeez.
Wow.
She said, but I'm not selling
hey,
that shit.
It's me. I'm the problem.
Yo, we gotta go. We're gonna go.
How the fuck are we going? I'm not spending that type of money. You gotta be out your motherfucking mind, bro.
Sorry. Listen, between iHeart and CAA, we're gonna find a way to get our
iHeart's gonna be like, that's gonna be half the budget of the show, guys.
Stop it.
You know what iHeart will do? They'll say yes, and then all of a sudden we'll get charged back like $40,000. Right. Yeah,
exactly. Like, what is that? What is this? Taylor tickets. Remember the Taylor tickets?
We're going. When is the LA? When are the LA shows? August, Joelle? We're going.
August 3rd through 5th.
All right, we're doing a field trip. We're doing a field trip. I'm declaring it right now.
I waited in line for 3 hours to not get tickets.
Did you wait in line for three hours and not get tickets?
Correct. Well, I want you to know. Listen,
if you would have got tickets, would you have sold them if they were like $150?
Hell no, I'm trying to go.
You guys, I'm here. I'm going to declare it right now. I'm putting it into the ether. I will pull whatever strings I have.
This is an expensive string, buddy.
No, I'm not going to spend $10,000 ticket. But Joelle, Daniel, Donald, and we'll probably have to invite Casey. We're going to go.
Awesome.
We're going to go to Taylor's concert.
Okay.
Whiteboarding it.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Are we getting on stage with Taylor?
I don't have that kind of power.
I know Taylor,
but I don't think she's going to invite us
on stage.
Have
you ever been on a stage with somebody performing?
Yes, Josh Radin, not Taylor
Swift. Other than Josh Radin?
No, I think the only time I've ever been on stage with a band performing and like they called me out. Oh, wait, once. Did I tell you the story?
No.
I told you the Howard Stern birthday party. Aerosmith was performing.
Okay.
What?
This is a new story.
And I could show you the still I have on my phone. It's hilarious. And Steven Tyler's like, come on up on stage. And he starts, because it was like the big finale at Howard Stern's birthday party. This was so many years ago. But he goes, come up on stage. And Slash is I think it was Slash. It wasn't the full Aerosmith band. It was like a you know, master group. What do you call those? Super group?
Sure. Super group.
But I remember that it was Steven Tyler and Slash, at least. And nice. Steven Tyler's calling people out in the audience, like, come on upstage, Robert Downey Jr., come on up on stage, Zach Braff, and naming all the celebrities, come up on stage. Well, I was the only dude who fucking ran up there.
Yeah!
Let's go!
So I'll show you a picture, you guys. It's literally Steven Tyler / me, Howard Stern, and Robin.
I love it.
That's awesome.
I love it. That's amazing.
What a memory. You know,
the rush that you feel.
Let me see if it's in my favorites so I could easily find it for you guys.
The rush that you feel when you look out into the audience is phenomenal. All right. So when I was younger, I was in this group, not a group, but like this. It was like a youth organization called City Kids. It was a non-for-profit organization where they gave young people a voice. And we did a bunch of shows and through art and stuff like that, through the arts and stuff like that, right? And we got to do shows with like big time celebrities and stuff like that. And we got invited to go and do a Madison Square Garden date with Gloria Estefan. And all we had to do was go out on stage with Gloria Estefan and sing Coming Out of the Dark when that song came out. Like, you know, this was her comeback shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we did this at the Garden two nights in a row. And let me tell you something, the energy that you feel when you walk on the stage and these motherfuckers is yelling for you, they don't even know who you are. And you can, that feeling, that rush, I get why all these motherfuckers be up on stage.
Oh my God.
I get why they put their hands out in the, you know, to the side.
Like, to bathe in the breeze.
I can't imagine a higher high. Let me forget any venue, but let's just, for the sake of the extreme, go to the stadium version of this. I've seen Coldplay a few times. They build a giant bridge that goes all the way the length of the whole field area. And Chris Martin singing Fix You, and just as like the beat kicks in, starts sprinting down the bridge, jumps into the air as full pyro comes out of the top of the stadium. And I'm like, is there a more fucking powerful thing than a stadium full of people singing your song?
And you're playing magician in front of them too.
And
you know what I mean? You're playing
pyro.
Fire!
Oh my God. I just can't imagine there's an art form where there's a higher, I mean, that's why everybody wants to be a rock star, right? Or a musical star, you know?
Cause you get that freaking, that rush, man. That shit is real, man. Like, I get the addiction.
And
to
it's
that.
Spiritual. It's spiritual. And people, their favorite artists, when they go see their favorite artists, that's mm-hmm. church. Their whole soul is connected to it. You know, people are crying. People are laughing. People are just, it's the performer is godlike.
Yeah. And you know, who's really always touched is the youth. The youth are the ones that are always crying and shit. Because you never see nobody crying like at a Backstreet concert or like at an NSYNC concert or at like a freaking...
No, you'd see young girls crying at the NSYNC concert.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah. You don't never see nobody crying like that. Like, that's the cry. That's what I'm saying.
Well, look at the Beatles. Remember those women, those people women passing out? They had to stop performing because it like wasn't safe.
Right. What happened? Shirley died last night at the Beatles concert.
Well, you know, the Beatles like literally were like, we can't tour. It's just not logistically safe.
How did she die?
Or possible.
Excitement. She died from excitement.
Yeah.
She had love in her heart and it killed her. Like that's
all right. So listen, Elliot's patient, Shannon, has ALS and is deteriorating quickly. She can't move her legs anymore.
Now, I don't remember this patient. I thought this was going to be the patient that was too skinny, but it's not. This is somebody else. I don't remember this patient.
She must
this
have
is
been
like
there.
Some patient that
she
came
must have
out of nowhere.
Come back. I don't remember. It feels like we're treating her like she's been on before, so I guess she's back.
Okay.
She had a funeral for herself. To invite people so she could be present for her funeral, although she didn't get in the casket. And JD says something about a vampire that I forgot.
Right, yeah. He was like, did you get in the casket? And she was like, yeah. And
then no, Ellie she said was no.
Like, okay. And then JD's like, they were like, who would do that? And Ellie, and then JD's like, a vampire. Like, I don't know,
vampire.
Man.
It was something like only a vampire would. Who would do that? A vampire. Something like that.
Yeah, some shit.
We know that JD likes vampires. So the stats from the competition come out on rateyourdoc.org, and JD is finally number one. He's won something. He's the number one doctor
at
the hospital.
Yeah, this is what we find out. All of this shit that Cox and Turk are doing are for our website, and you find out that the whole hospital's kind of up on this. So the Todd's on a different website than everybody else. I think
which we
like,
assume is rateyourcock.com
or right, rateyourcock or rateyourdick.
Well, said, oh, I think doc. Cock. Don't you think that cock is a? Don't you think cock is the more obvious mistake that he's on than dick?
I mean, is the D close to the C on the?
Well, it's just that it rhymes.
It's right above it. It's right above it. It's right above it.
Are you looking at your keyboard?
I am looking at my keyboard.
Okay, so everyone's competing, and Cox and Turk, who are the most competitive mofos, they
can't
handle it.
They can't. It's
so
too
they're
much.
They're gonna sabotage JD.
It's too much for JD to be number one at anything, because JD doesn't compete at anything.
But you know what I like about this? You do learn. You know, you see JD being so silly. You know he's a good doctor. You assume he's a good doctor. But this is the first time you actually see that, like, no, his patients love this guy more than any other doctor in the hospital, which I thought was a nice moment because there's so much of JD being a goofball. And we infer that he's a good doctor because he's so passionate and he's so emotional and so connected. But this was kind of like, oh, the entire patient population who participated in this picked him as number one.
Yes.
And he does a dance. You like the little dance I do, my number one doctor dance?
No.
You didn't like that?
No.
That shit was fire. Yeah. And then I go in, and then I go to my cell phone. Call
mom.
Mommy.
Mommy.
And he goes, I have to make a quick call. Call mom. And then I kind of whisper. I go, call loudly. And then I go, mommy.
There's nothing like calling your mom and telling her you were number one, though. It's great.
Of course.
Amazing call.
I love calling my mom and telling her good news.
That's always the best. Mom, I got the part.
Yeah, mom, I got the part. Mom, are you sitting down? Yeah. I always do that shit like out of the movies. Mom, are you sitting down? All right, so JD, so Shannon, we learned, it seems, tried to overdose.
She tried.
She used the wrong medication. Elliot says,
You got to be careful
Elliot,
with this.
Before Elliot realizes, excuse me, that she was trying to overdose, she says, you know, if you'd taken Y medicine instead of X medicine, you could have really, you know, hurt yourself. Yeah. And then, and she says, I'm going to have to tell Gail, who's her, her nurse that's watching over her, that you've done this to watch out for you. And then we see Gail flying. JD is helping it look like Gail is flying.
Well,
with a
because
fan.
Shannon doesn't want to stay with Gail. Here's the thing. She likes her, but she's just a little too much.
Right.
And Elliot's like, what? And then she points to the door and Gail is flying.
Yes. In a very funny manner. Gail's silly like JD.
And Elliot's like, what the, how is she, how is the wind, how is she able to do the hair and the cape flapping?
And the scarf.
Right. And the scarf flapping. And we cut to JD with a fan and he's like, I'm next.
I get to go next.
I get to go next. So yeah, so she's silly like JD.
Right. Okay, then
does that mean she's a great doctor or a great caretaker also? Because people seem to love JD.
We don't know. We just know that she's silly like JD, and I think it's safe to say that Shannon isn't in the mood for anybody silly. Shannon wants to be left alone and end her life, and she's stuck with this silly fun nurse. The janitor is wearing Argyle because he's going all in on convincing
Lady that he's normal.
Yes.
And that's what this whole episode boils down to. Like, what is normal? Is it normal to say this? I want to take control of my life and end it now. Who's to say that I can't do that? Is it normal to, you know, is who I am, who I project in front of you guys, in front of everyone? Is that all right? Is it all right for me to be that person? Or
yes,
you know,
that is the theme. That is the theme. And also in the spirit of them getting trolled and getting commented on as doctors for the first time, again, this being like an early commentary for Bill and the writers of like getting online critique, like, what is the best version of myself? Am I supposed to do what I want to do as the creator, or am I supposed to take the critique from the internet and change
the show,
I find it hilarious. I'm Bill, quote unquote. Bill, find it hilarious when Donald says, "That's what I'm talking about." Are you telling me that am I supposed to change and do something that I don't think is funny as the comedy writer because of your comments? I just thought, you know, it's all of that. It's all those layers of wrestling with like, do I be me or do I be something that you want me to be?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I do know what you're saying. This is a very powerful episode. Not necessarily my favorite episode as far as comedy
goes.
It
wasn't the funniest.
But a lot of great messages in this show and a lot of what we're dealing with today.
And it's very timely too, because I imagine in 2007 when this came out, it was like, you know, this was the new phase of the internet. I mean, I'm not sure. What year did Twitter come out?
Twitter comes out in 2009. Not that much later.
Well, 2 years later from 2007,
it was happening on MySpace and Facebook and still, I mean, already, but then Twitter came and fucking nuclear bombed the whole thing.
Yeah, that was the weapon. That was the one.
Anyway, do we have any predictions about whether Twitter is going to last? Daniel, you're our tech expert.
Oh, gee. I think Twitter will just become a less and less safe place in terms of your privacy, your data, and stuff like that. So I would suggest maybe not DMing anyone private information anymore.
Right.
It would have to lose a lot of money for them to straight up switch off the servers and turn.
Right.
Twitter,
but here's my question,
off.
Daniel. My question is this: explain it like I'm five.
Sure.
Isn't the only revenue ad revenue, other than the $8 for a verified check thing now? But isn't the only money ad revenue?
Yeah, kind of. I think so. Yeah.
So if the language begins to become too offensive, won't all advertisers split? And then how does it survive? Is my question.
You know what? I think that's a great question. I think if push comes to shove and moderation goes in a certain way where they're just kind of allowing whatever, the platform spirals, people are spreading more and more hate speech, it will become a less and less, you know, appealing place to advertise. And if those
who's
ad dollars
advertise on there other than the MyPillow guy.
Exactly. I don't know. I mean, you know, there's a lot of hate on the website already.
I was about to say, it's really interesting. Yeah. I was about to say, that's exactly right. There's a lot of hate on the website and that hasn't stopped people from advertising on other websites. You know what I mean?
No, I'm just saying that, like, if it continues down, I'm just asking the question. I have no answers. I'm just saying if it continues down anybody can say whatever the hell they want. Those are the new rules.
Then it becomes normal. If it continues like this, it's going to become normal.
I'm just wondering if, you know, Chevrolet is going to pay for an ad next to that. I just don't know.
They might
not. If it's normalized, yeah. And that's what
probably not, though, Donald, because it's becoming a contentious space. Yeah. Not just for users, but like right now they're in a feud with like Apple, bizarrely. And so I think we'll continue to see a rollback of advertisers. Many websites operate at a loss. I really think we might be seeing the birth of the new 8chan if things continue in this direction.
What do you say? I don't know what 8chan is.
It's like, do you know what 4chan is?
No.
Okay. It's like Reddit, but for horrible people.
It just seems like there's so much hate speech going on right now, and it's really starting to boil over. And people with influence are spewing hate speech more and more now, and it's to have a platform like Twitter that's like, you know what? It's free speech though.
But we've already seen a decline in usership. You know what I mean? Like, there's already Twitter's most active users. I think they said there's like a 10% decline. Mm-hmm. And that was just like as Elon was approaching purchasing the site, like right after he did. Excuse me. So, and you know, with the rise of like Hive, which is a social website that operates pretty similarly to Twitter with some Instagram applications, as those continue to improve and become more user friendly, I think we'll continue to see an exodus from Twitter. I don't think it's going to go back to what it was. I think we're going to see a slow exodus from that.
But wasn't it like it was already a failing website anyway when he bought it? Wasn't it already like the less
financially it was not stable, but most of these websites work at a loss anyway.
It wasn't, it was making advertising money because you had however many thousands of people at least moderating the worst stuff off, right? And now, in theory, but a robot can't do that, right? You need a human being ultimately.
You need a moderation.
Didn't he have like thousands of moderation people that have largely been let go? Or am I wrong?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so
if there's not a human being that's eventually moderating the speech a bit, it's not going to be a place where a corporation's going to want to put their ad. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Right. Speaking of robots, dude, is it LA? Is it LA County that's doing this shit? Is some robots going in to unarm motherfuckers and they're just a bomb? This shit is real, dude.
San Francisco.
What the fuck, man? You know what's gonna happen. This is how it goes down. They're gonna start. This is not. So it's a remote control robot.
Right. No, it has a machine gun on it. It's not a bomb, right?
No, it's a fucking bomb, dude.
That's the funny thing. They were we're not putting guns on robots. We're putting disarming explosives on robots.
Oh,
these motherfuckers.
What?
Perfect. There it
That's
is.
Better?
Perfect.
Wow.
All so wait, the robot goes is somebody in. Be like, I don't want to do the remote control anymore. Can another robot do the shit for me?
Wait a second.
And then the other robot starts
the
doing
robot
it.
The robot goes in.
It develops consciousness. Yep. Skynet is introduced.
T2.
It creates more robots. Terminator.
It's funny, but it's terrifying.
Wait a second. The robot goes in and just drops off a bomb and then leaves?
The robot explodes. It explodes.
No, okay, you wouldn't kill the robot. The robot's probably expensive.
The robot's not alive, but the robot's not alive.
No, but the robot, I imagine, is a very expensive robot.
Yes, the explosion isn't going to kill the metal robot. Look, this is the warfare.
Let
the
Daniel
motherfucker's
going to
sit there and be like, they'll be sitting there blasting the robot with an AK. The shit's not. The robot just continues to creep closer and closer and closer. It's like Wally, but bulletproof. Wally. Right? It gets closer and closer. And then when it gets really close, it goes boom and fucking kills the person shooting the AK.
All right, Daniel. Yeah, can you please explain what it really is?
I can't exactly say that Donald is wrong because I don't know exactly, but I will say something tells me that it's going to be more along the lines of a robot throwing a flashbang or some sort of disarming or device.
That's gonna be hilarious. Like, a robot taking its robot arm and just freaking grabbing the flashbang. want, Brian?
They just want to remove people from the field, and they're going to be like, yeah, let's just throw some robots
well,
in there.
Well, listen,
to, like,
it's better than that. You know those robot dogs people. That are so incredibly agile?
From Boston Dynamics.
Yeah. Yes, it's better than putting a machine gun on those things. That's that would be bad
Dude,
news.
You know what would be
literally
bad?
Literally an episode of Black Mirror.
This is coming, man. We're on the verge of it.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Everybody likes a little ass play, dude. Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards credit card.
You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases,
and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn.
Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
We're back!
And we're back!
Fuck your sound effects machine.
All right, here we are. We're talking about the television show Scrubs. It was on TV in the aughts.
It was one of my favorite shows in the aughts.
Yes, it was one of mine too.
I never watched it, but it was one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, Donald's never really seen an episode until now.
Until now.
Kelso reveals that Enid thinks it's too snowy to go outside because he sprays the windows with shaving cream.
Yes, he's a horrible man.
Because her wheelchair is digging up the backyard.
He is a horrible man.
He's the devil.
Now, doesn't she have dementia, though? Like,
she's got everything. Enid's not in a good place, and she thinks
she
it's
hasn't
too
been
snowy.
In a good place for a really long time, Zach.
Well, put it this way: she sees shaving cream on the windows and believes it's too snowy to go outside. We also learned that Todd has created a website called the
and
Todd
he, wait, hold
Time.
Up, let's go back, and he leaves her at home.
Yeah,
by herself.
I think she has
a helper.
She does?
Yeah. The helper's been referenced. I think Kelso's probably slept with her.
Yeah.
The ToddTime.com is introduced. I don't know if that's still up. Will you check, guys? The Todd Time?
No.
The other one wasn't, but I'll check.
For yeah, the other one I looked up wasn't, but Todd Time might be.
It's a dirty site.
Oh, so, why am I doing this on my work computer?
Yeah. Right? Here we go.
No, it was made by...
It is down.
Oh,
gosh. Yeah.
We need Trevor to resuscitate
that. You almost
dirtied
your computer.
All right, so they sabotage JD's rating. Okay, now the janitor decides that he is going to come clean.
Oh, gosh, this is the saddest scene ever in the history of Scrubs, man. It starts off all right. It starts off good. It starts off, I'm like, oh, thank goodness. And then he goes straight up fucking flat earther. Like, he's just like, I believe that the sun is the moon is the other side of the sun.
Right.
Like, he goes.
He says, I stuff animals with other animals. A badger will hold 5 squirrels. A squirrel will hold most of a cat.
He says, I believe the moon is the other side of the sun. Like, yeah. Dude, he goes there. He goes there.
Well, listen, and meanwhile, Carla's in the background being like, you know, giving him the stop sign. Like, you're going to ruin everything. You have to dole out your crazy in little bursts.
Do you believe that? Hold on, time out. Do you guys all believe that?
Yes.
Okay, so.
You don't go on date one and tell your date your weirdest eccentricities.
Because you want date two, right? That's the only reason why.
I mean, in theory.
That's the only reason why, though, right?
Yeah.
Like.
You're not going to go on a first date and be like.
Everybody likes a little ass play, dude. No, yeah, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Because, listen, if somebody
like,
said,
hey, can I have a glass of Pinot Noir? Listen, Susie.
Whether it be taking a poop, whether it be a finger, whether it be a tongue, whether it, you know, everybody likes a little ass play.
She'd be gone. She'd be like, she wouldn't. Nice meeting you.
No, she wouldn't. No, she would. I wouldn't be gone. I wouldn't be gone. You're right. I know.
All right. Wait. Anyway, in theory, in dating theory, you don't want to reveal.
On my first date with Casey, if Casey said, "Listen, everybody likes a little ass play, whether it be a finger, a tongue," I'd be like, "Go on."
All right. Well, that's not. That reference isn't maybe good for you, but I'm sure there's something, an eccentricity of Casey's, or something in her past, or something she could tell you. That on date one, you'd be a little like, whoa. Whereas on date 10, you'd be like, oh, okay. I don't
know. No.
All right, Joelle, listen, Daniel, do you want to weigh in on this?
If it took till date 10 for that shit to come out, then we got a problem, bro. We got a problem. I need to talk into the mic. I'm talking away from the mic. If it took from date 10 for that shit to come out, then we got a problem, bro. A straight up problem.
I once went on a few dates with a woman, and she was amazing, and we were getting along great. And she was roughly, I would say, 5'6". And then we ended up making out a little bit, and she took her boots off.
Uh-oh.
And when she stood up, she was definitely under 5. Which is fine. No, I mean, not to say I couldn't fall for a woman under 5 feet, but I was definitely taken aback, and she clearly was hiding this from me.
Got yeah.
It. Yes.
I can't tell a lot. Like I have,
thank you,
have the thing where I'm just like whatever is in here is coming out of my mouth. And sure. So I don't have the opportunity to slowly pace myself. I don't know how. And this crazy thing.
It's all or nothing, yo. This is, if it's going to be a relationship, it has to be all or nothing. You can't just be on some, I'm a serial killer and I'm not going to tell you until I kill you shit. Like that's not, that's not. Right.
That's one extreme.
That's
of
a
the
pretty
idea.
Extreme.
It right, might be extreme, but that's, I mean, look, the janitor's borderline, dude. The motherfucker stuffs a badger with squirrels. Come on,
five
buddy.
Squirrels. Five squirrels fit five in the badger.
If that ain't serial killer conversation, I don't know what the fuck is, dude.
No, he tries to take Carla's advice, and on their next date, they're watching TV, and he pulls out one of his stuffed creatures.
And goes, she's like, that's disgusting.
And he's like, look what I found. And she's like, oh my God, it's disgusting. Get that out of here. And he's like, yeah, I agree with you.
I've never felt bad for janitor before.
I think ladies fronting too, though. I think ladies just like janitor at the end of the day.
Well, spoiler alert, we know that they end up together in love. So he apparently doling out his crazy in small doses works for him.
Mm-hmm.
Carla really was a good wing woman.
That's what he took it literally. he tried to show her, I'm not going to take out the big stuffed animal. Yeah. I'll take out a little tiny one. Yeah, I'll take out a little tiny one. So I don't freak her out.
And first of all, he also doesn't tell her that it's stuffed with other animals. He just takes it out. Like, I found this taxidermied cute thing.
Right.
And she's like, gross. Like, and he's like, yeah, I think so too. I'm going to put it back in my backpack.
Anyway.
All right. So in college, JD reveals that we shared a toothbrush.
I did not know that. That was very funny.
Didn't know that.
I was not
aware
of that.
And then there's this very, the rare fantasy within a fantasy.
Right.
About the
now,
unicorn.
That was what, right. So, okay. So look, the fantasy is Turk apologizing and saying, is there anything I can do to make this up?
Right.
And JD says, thinks there is. And first, it's a unicorn.
Right, JD loves unicorns, and Turk has found a unicorn.
Turns out the unicorn's not real in JD's fantasy.
Are they twins? There was two young men in the suit.
And he pulls the head off accidentally.
Right. Right. Trying to give the unicorn love. Like,
and then Turk says, in the fantasy, Turk says, is there anything I can do to make this up to you?
Right.
He goes into another fantasy.
Yes, a fantasy within a fantasy.
With a freaking unicorn again.
A real unicorn.
This time it's a fake horn.
Yes.
And unicorns aren't real. I'm sorry, JD. That's just how it is.
Right. Well, JD is very upset. I remember shooting that, and that horn was would barely stay on that horse's head. They were trying to, do it very ethically. So you're not going to like use glue. I just remember that horn wouldn't stay on that damn thing.
Yeah. I remember that day. I think I have a picture of that day.
Yeah. That was a funny day. We had a unicorn. It's not every day you go to work and there's a unicorn. I love the very rare Scrubs fantasy within a fantasy. It doesn't happen too much.
Do you remember? I remember my first fantasy within a fantasy moment, and that was American Werewolf in London. Do you remember American Werewolf in London where he's
seen it.
What?
I know it's a classic, but I've never seen it.
I don't know if it holds up. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
So then JD and says, the only way you can make it up to me is if we go play basketball, and every time I make a shot, you yell white lightning. And a great Jump Little Children song plays that I really like. Jump Little Children
that
is a
shit
band.
Was dope. Whatever song that was at the end of the show was amazing.
That's Jump Little Children. I want you guys to all listen to them. They're a very underrated band. But the song is called B-13 by Jump Little Children. I really like that band a lot. This was clearly my idea because I didn't know anyone else was listening to Jump Little Children. Yes, Dan.
Want me to play it right here?
Yes, Dan will play 30 seconds of it right here.
There is a place for me far, far away on a distant screen or on a cell.
So now we get into the
Gale thing.
Yeah.
All right. Now, so Elliot makes a decision that, I mean, obviously a very controversial decision.
Do you think she's haunted by this for the rest of her career?
Well, JD warns her that if you don't warn Gale to look out for this woman taking her own life, it's going to haunt you for the rest of your life. And we assume that JD's gotten through to Elliot, but I got goosebumps. Like
because
crazy.
We know JD's haunted. We know JD's followed around by his past experiences. We've seen it in the show.
But look, I'm getting them. I'm getting goosebumps on my arm as I remember it. That's how moving this moment was. That Elliot makes a choice not to warn Gale, and allow her friend patient to make her own decision about the end of her life. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very powerful.
It's a really beautiful sacrifice.
It like, is, but I think she's gonna. I think she's gonna. I think it's gonna be something that she thinks about though for the rest of her life, though.
Sure.
And that is part of the sacrifice, also. Part of the sacrifice is okay. I'm gonna deal with this forever. But
keep in mind, this was 2007. So now a more likely scenario would be let's take you to one of those states where you can do this legally and ethically, as I'm sure many people do. This is a way of doing it before that change begun.
It's a very, in my opinion, very controversial moment for Elliot, especially someone who tries very hard not to be controversial and is always trying to do what her parents want or do what she thinks the status quo is, or do what her politics says is the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And this is a moment where she throws all of that aside and just says, what would I do? Like, this is the theme of this show. Do you want me to be me or do you want me to be what fucking I put in front of everybody.
Right. Well said. Well, it ended up being a very powerful moment for me. I thought the episode was just okay, but at the end, I really thought that was powerfully well told with the song, the Jump Little Children song, and Elliot not saying anything to Gail. I thought that was really good.
And then you yelling white lightning and me yelling white lightning. Yeah, all of that. That was definitely all very.
There you go. All right, Joelle, do you have some submissions? I've never laughed harder.
I've been laughing at that guy. For 2 weeks. Zach and Donald are gay and switched at birth. That dude had me rolling. The freaking thing.
Well, it was very funny, by the way. Oh, yeah, Daniel, I need that soundbite for the machine.
I got it for you.
That guy was very funny. He made me laugh. And I wanted to say one other thing. I wanted to give Klutz a shout out, guys, because I think when this airs, it will have already aired, because Amanda Klutz, our friend, has her very own Christmas movie called Fit for Christmas that's going to be on CBS Sunday night after football. This will air Tuesday, which means it's already aired, but you can find it on Paramount Plus.
Nice.
Fit for Christmas. Amanda Klutz, our friend, she pitched... You know, she loves these sort of Hallmarky, you know, romantic Christmas movies that a lot of people like, obviously, because they make so many of them.
Well, this ain't on Hallmark. This is on CBS, bro.
I know. I'm saying that she likes that oeuvre, and she pitched she had her own idea, and she pitched it to CBS, and they bought it, and she co-wrote it with another woman, and she stars in it. I believe it's her lead in anything debut. I mean, she's amazing. The star of it.
Let's go.
And it's on, by the time you're hearing this, it will have aired on TV, but you can find it on Paramount Plus, our buddy Amanda Klutz, Fit for Christmas. There's her shout out, because we love Amanda.
All right, boom. Amanda.
Hey, Amanda, you did that.
Donald and I are going to a screening, she organized a little screening, and Donald and I are going to go to it on Saturday, right?
Nice. Aww. Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be up in that piece.
Yep.
Take pictures.
Will you hold me during the romantic parts?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
I had to ask.
I will be holding on to my wife.
Okay.
Well, you'll probably be holding on to my wife.
Yeah. Do you mind if your wife sits in the middle?
My wife used to get jealous. Like, why is he always hugging on you, honey? And now I'm jealous. Why is he always hugging on you?
Why is he always asking you about White Lotus season 2?
I found pictures on my phone of my wife and my best friend hanging out together. It's so cute. It's the cutest. Bay and Bay are fucking kicking it. It's the cutest thing ever. And they're making cute little pictures into the camera for me and everything. Like, let's do a little picture where it's the cutest thing ever. Let's do a picture where to make him laugh.
So sweet.
I love her. You married well. You did good, kid.
I did a good job, man.
Yeah.
I did a very good job. I thought that when I married her, it would just be me and her. I had no clue that it was going to be me, her, and
I'm
you.
I'm so glad. I should have said we married well. She's my friend with zero benefits.
Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved play time off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. JLab Audio is personal tech designed for you that fits your life, looks cool, and offers surprisingly awesome value.
Imagine the products and features you actually want and make sure the entire experience owning them is a great one.
Always packing the most functionality and fun into every product at a truly accessible price.
Zach, let me tell you, JLab has these new luxury over-ear headphones called the JBuds Lux ANC.
Yep.
These seamlessly blend innovation and lab quality sound, all in these sleek headphones that guarantee an elevated listening experience. You can connect to multiple devices, customize your sound in the JLab app, and get over 70 hours of playtime.
Well, buddy, those sound pretty cool, but have you heard of the JBuds ANC3? They are the smallest smart active noise canceling true wireless earbuds you can find. You can also connect to multiple devices, but these come with a built-in USB-C charging cable and a noise canceling microphone for crisp, clear phone calls. Use Real Friends for 25% off your order. Visit jlab.com to find your kind of tech.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
All right, Joel, go for it. We're going to start with which one? An idea for the podcast future or idea for me and Donald as a TV show?
So this is from Mike McCallum. It is a future project suggestion.
Okay.
Hey, how's it going? Hope all's well. My name's Mike. I'm from Jersey, the little island near France. And an idea for a movie for you guys to do together in the future. A bromance film based on the true story of your lives and how you met. With all the stories you've told on the podcast, I think it could be awesome. It could start off with Zach as a kid doing his bar mitzvah rap, then cut into Donald as he's rapping along to Wu-Tang. You could see some of you guys growing up in theatre school and Donald's mum helping him out with all his auditions, a bit of Clueless, Garden State, and of course a lot of Scrubs. We could also see some of you guys in your flat and all the things you got up to in New York. See Donald meeting Casey and being rejected, and maybe Zach comforting him until the wins are over. And see Donald having his kid, Zach being asked to be godfather. Aww. Maybe after the third kid, Zach could be like, another one. Sorry, yeah. I didn't do that justice. But yeah, I thought it could be done in the style of the film The Big Sick, and a bit of an abstract ending, but you could always end with Bill Lawrence at his computer and it turns out he's been writing the story of your lives.
Aww.
Anyway, thanks for listening to me ramble. Ciao for now.
Oh, very sweet. What a nice accent.
First of all, he ain't from Jersey.
No, he's from old Jersey.
Not New Jersey. Jersey.
Trust me, if you're from New Jersey, you sound like me. If you're from old Jersey, you sound like that.
Oh, I'm about to say. So there is an old Jersey.
Yes.
There is an old Jersey. Got it. I was wondering.
Yeah. He's from
Has it always been called Old Jersey?
No, it's not called Old Jersey. It's just called Jersey.
I know, guys. Come on.
You goofy man.
Anyway, I love his accent. I love his accent. If I spoke like that, Donald, I would be such a stud. I'd be such a stud.
You would what?
I'd just be such a stud.
I will say this. I loved his idea. I don't think it's a television show or a movie. I think it's a music video. Like, me and you need to, we need to create a song. Something like, you know, so this is the world we live in. You know what it really reminded me of, though, was the ending for 6 Feet Under. But instead of us dying in the end, it's Bill Lawrence with the script. But it's the anthology of our life all the way through up until, you know, we reach the present.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was, listen, I think it was very sweet the way he pitched it, and he seems like a very lovely man.
Yes.
I like the idea of it being revealed that Bill's writing the whole thing. I thought that was smart. I don't think that we, in reality, want to do the story of our lives.
No.
All right, but thank you for the submission. Your accent was our favorite part, and if you lived in New Jersey, you would not sound like that. You'd say words like coffee, talk, chocolate, dog.
Get the fuck out of here.
Dog. When we were making A Good Person. Oh, I got to give everyone a warning about Good Person trailer is dropping on December 15th, everybody.
Yes, let's go. That is my wedding anniversary. That is the perfect day to drop A Good Person. Drop that shit, and when you drop it, say, this is for my best friend's wedding.
Okay, I'm probably not going to do that. But I do want everyone who's
going
to...
Wait, what do you mean you're not going to do that?
I'm going to focus on the film, not your wedding anniversary, if it's okay. All right. I do want everyone who keeps track of these things to please put it down in your calendar. December 15th is the day that we'll be dropping.
I got married to Casey. Yes, that is the day. Yes,
for A Good Person.
a good person. Trailer drops December 15th.
Very excited.
The day
about that.
After my dad's birthday.
Yeah, these are all the ways it relates to Donald's life. That's why we chose December 15th. No, but it's a big thing for us. We're very excited. And
I'm really excited for you, bud.
It's going to be really cool. All right, Joelle, let's go to the next idea, which is an idea for a future incarnation of the podcast, I take it.
Yes. It's titled A Pitchy from Mitchie.
Pitchy from Mitchie.
Hi, Joelle. Hi, Zach. Hi, Donald. Hi, Daniel.
Why are they
good
all
to hear you guys back on the airwaves. It's Mitch from Australia, which I was the onesie Mitch. Guy who were on a game show.
Remember him?
Hope everyone's well.
Yeah.
I have an idea. Just following up from what Laura and Matt pitched to you guys, here's a pitch from Mitch. that's a horrible pun. I'm sorry.
You're not sorry.
Following up from what they said, both great ideas. I thought also maybe if you like did your episode in two halves, like catch up, shoot the shit, see what's going on in your lives and stuff like that. And the second half, kind of like you used to have with guests would write in and ask a question and fix your life, maybe we could have a bit of a talent quest. So like kind of like you guys would be the judges on your American Idol or whatever, or more like America's Got Talent or Australia's Got Talent, and listeners could submit in some talents, perhaps, maybe like maybe people might be able to do awesome impressions or sing or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think maybe like an unofficial fake Doctors Are All Friends Idol or a, you know, fake Doctors Got Talent maybe, and could be anything, and could be a bit of fun, a few laughs to be had. And, you know, I think it could be fun. And I would like to put my submission in. I can do a few impressions. Okay. Be like, hey-ho, Kermit E. Frog here. Maybe this will make you laugh, Donald. Yay! Or Ruby-Doo. Anyways, I hope you guys are well. Oh, I'm currently driving through the streets of Sydney, and I'm getting weird looks, giggling like an idiot. All on hands free, though, so it's all safe. At any rate, I hope you guys are well. Be safe, and I hope to hear from you soon. Jeez. Oh,
all right.
All right. Mitch. Now,
what a legend.
Mitch is a very funny man.
Yeah.
I like, I'm going to be Kermit the Frog.
I don't know.
That came out of nowhere.
I mean, listen, a talent show, don't get me wrong. I think a talent show.
I like
show
the idea of a talent show, Zach.
Yeah, I don't want to do it every week as a full time thing.
It would be really funny just to
well,
see
maybe
what
it's like instead
of
replacing this segment. Like,
yeah,
that
with
we do now
with a
talent show or someone they sing or they play an instrument or they do comedy.
Did
that
you
would
ever
be
see that one where the lady asked Celine Dion if she could sing for her? And Celine's in the car in front of like a restaurant or something.
And it's really
like
bad.
That. And the girl starts singing and it's really bad. And Celine Dion just rolls up the window. She doesn't change her facial expression. She doesn't change her facial expression or not. She just rolls up the window. I would love that. I would love to be able to look, listen, without sounding like an asshole and without being an asshole, if you guys want to send in your talents, your singing talents, your comedic talents, and everything like that, and you want us to judge it?
Yeah.
If you really want that,
but I don't
I'm
know if
down
we
want to
judge it. Like
I'm down to do that, but I'm gonna be 100 with you though, man. Like y'all are 100 with me and my like y'all are 100 with me in my DMs and in my motherfucking Twitter and all of that shit. Like y'all are 100 with me when you come at me with all of that stuff. If you want to do that, go ahead. I'm willing to.
So
I'm
you're saying if we were to do this, that you would be more of the Simon? Because I don't want. I could never.
I wouldn't be mean. I would just be honest. I would just be honest. Just look, man. Look, just being honest.
I just want to say if you were willing to be the Simon Cowell, because I would never like say like you're horrible.
You wouldn't
but
be
I feel
honest.
Like you would.
You wouldn't be honest.
I would be delicate. I would be more like
if somebody came in and was horrible at whatever it is that their talent
I'd be like,
was.
I'd be like, you clearly have a different skill you haven't found yet.
I'm gonna die.
Very gently.
The spit went down the wrong pipe. Shit.
But I do think it's funny. I always used to think it was funny. I never could never be the Simon Cowell, but I did think it was funny when he would be like, that's the worst song I've ever heard in my whole life.
That's the worst singing I've ever heard. Ever? Really, Simon? Really? Ever?
That
ever?
Was absolutely horrible. I used to laugh. I'd just be like, I just could never do that to anybody.
I used to laugh at Randy Jackson. That's when American Idol was funny. That's going to be a no for me, dog.
All those shows were, I mean, I never want to be the person, but they were funniest when there was at least one bad guy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like William Hong. She bang!
When it became all positive, I just stopped watching them.
Listen, I enjoy a train wreck just as much as the next person. I think we all enjoy train wrecks. I don't think I want to be a part of the train wreck, though. I don't want to be. Yeah, I don't want fake doctors, real friends to be.
Yeah, we want to build
play
people
train
up.
Wrecks on this
we don't want to. Like, we want to build people up. We're not trying to take anybody down. I would love to tell everyone the movies that I've watched that I've really not liked, but it's not my thing. I'll tell you privately, but I don't want to broadcast. Like, you know, so much hard work and artistry goes into. To a film, for example, I would never publicly put anybody down. It's just
although
not my,
we all love a train wreck.
I'll build people up. I'll say you gotta watch White Lotus season 2.
I'm gonna keep it 100. I love a train wreck, though. I said it over and over again, and I'll say it again.
You're saying like when someone performs and they're horrible, you enjoy that. I do too. Everybody does. That's why those shows are popular.
Yes.
But they're only extra funny when then Simon Cowell is like, my ears are literally bleeding from listening to
right.
All right, everybody, that's the show. We
Wait,
love you very
on.
Much.
Before we
what?
Go.
What?
You know a song is getting a mad bump in my car right now? And
what?
I know we can't play it on the air.
What?
But it's just one of my favorite songs.
What?
Mommy don't know daddy's getting
I knew you were going to say this. I knew you were going to say this.
Doing something unholy.
Yes. Yo!
Rips.
Song it goes.
Rips.
It goes.
Yeah. Sam Smith. What's the young lady's name?
Kim Petras.
Kim Petras. Oh shit.
So good. That song rules.
They got a bop, dog. Mm-hmm. They got a bop. Mm-hmm. They took you know what's messed up though is they took the freaking American version of like the Middle Eastern theme.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And turned it into a hit song.
Yes. Right. I mean They're the first people to do it, but yes, it works really well.
That's the first freaking version of it that I'm like, yep, again.
You like Britney Spears' Toxic, which is based off of an Indian song.
Okay.
All right, guys, that's our show. We love you very, very much, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in. 5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved it. He's got stories that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Donno.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that 46% of us don't take all our vacation days? Even though it's been proven that taking time off to play makes us more productive.
In California, no matter where you go, you'll find play. Explore a redwood forest, immerse yourself in art galleries, or just park yourself in a beach chair and chill. Play is everywhere in California, so take some well-deserved playtime off and discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, it's simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. You can learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.